David Hecker, who is the president of the American Federation of Teachers. I like talking with David because he's one of the smartest guys I know. He has perspective on this as well as some other things we're going to talk about this morning. David, how are you?
I'm great, Tony, and thanks so much for that comment. I appreciate it.
From what you know, what is Public Act 4 and what do you think of the Supreme Court ruling?
Well, the Supreme Court did the right thing. Over 200,000 people said they wanted a right for the people of Michigan to vote on this, and so they did the right thing to put it on the ballot. So as soon as the Board of Canvassers meets and actually takes the vote, as they're ordered to by the Supreme Court, to put it on the ballot, then the law is no longer in effect.
All right, if I play devil's advocate and tell you, David, as a guy who's from near Detroit, to see the mess that they're in, and it's quite obvious they can't handle their own affairs. They haven't been able to do that for decades, set aside the time that David Archer was there. Why shouldn't an emergency manager be placed there?
Well, first of all, I would agree that there are many issues facing Detroit and other communities. I disagree that people here cannot, where I am in Detroit, cannot manage their own affairs. There shouldn't be an emergency manager because the law provides unbelievable power to an emergency manager. The right of elected officials is taken away. The school board has no say about anything. The emergency manager gets to determine working conditions, class size, if teachers have prep periods to help the kids. There's just so much power in the hands of one person that it's no way really to bring about the change that we need.
David, would you be in favor of this law of an emergency manager if the power was less?
I support having an elected body that the people of the community elect have a say as to how our schools are run. And I believe no one should have the right to just decide by himself or herself what's going to happen in a school district or a city, et cetera. So it is doubtful that there would be a version of this law that I'd feel comfortable in.
All right, let's say, and this is something I'm close to, as I'm from the Detroit area. The Detroit Public Schools has been in disarray for decades, fiscally, internally, what they produce as far as education for students. I don't want to blame anybody, but it's dysfunctional. If we said, David, we're going to make you the guy, how do we fix this? What would you do?
That's a big question to ask in a radio interview. But first thing I would do is I would bring all stakeholders to the table, and I would say, we're going to do this together. We're going to figure this out together. Top on my list would be to empower teachers at schools in the classroom. I would take the resources that I have, and I fight for more because more are needed to be able to lower class size. I would make sure that every school is safe and secure. I would make sure that every school has the technology that students deserve to have to be able to be prepared to get a job out in the society that we have today. I'd make sure textbooks are there, supplies are there, up-to-date textbooks are there. There are many things I would do. I will say that the district is less financially strapped than it was, but it is still financially strapped, and you know these things cost money.
Okay, if leadership is the focus of turning things around, why are we lacking here? Just say when we speak of Detroit.
Well, you know, it was a while ago at this point, but you know, before the appointed school board came in about 2000-2001, DPS had a surplus. Test scores were going up. DPS had a surplus. There were many issues. The appointed school board comes in, and all of a sudden, there's a major deficit. There's a major deficit when an emergency manager is put in, and until now, the big deficit has not been really reduced until recently, where it has been significantly reduced, thanks in large part to really large concessions that school staff gave up in order to be able to have the kind of programs and the kinds of things we need for our kids.
As Michigan begins to implement its new statewide school accountability system, the Michigan Department of Education last week released its annual report card on Michigan schools, and some schools did well, some didn't. What's your take on this?
Well, it's a new system, as you know, Tony. There are reward schools, which are the top 5% or those making a great deal of progress. There are priority schools, which are the bottom 5%. And then there's sort of this new middle group called focus schools. Focus schools are schools where there's a significant gap between the highest performing students and the lowest performing students. So there are many, many excellent schools in the focus school category. And they're on the list. They're still excellent schools. They're on the list because they're not reaching every child, and every child deserves to have a strong, good education. So, you know, there over the years there have been different ranking systems, different names given to categories, and what really matters is what resources, what help is going to be available to the priority schools in the bottom 5%. And to the focus schools to help them continue to work to identify the things that are needed to bring every child up. That's you call it what you want. The bottom line is what resources are going to be there to help.
All right, David, from the many experts we've talked to, including yourself, as much as a plan and money is all fine and dandy, we need to have collaboration with parents and the schools, mm-hmm. whether it's the teacher or the principal. It's been lacking, especially in I come from a single-parent home. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for coaches and some teachers staying after me, who knows how I would have ended up. Mm-hmm. But what can we do to improve that, to get parents to really take control of the situation?
Well, parent involvement, parent input is essentially important. There's an inverse relationship usually between economic standing and parent involvement, and that's very understandable. There are single parent households. People don't have time. They want to be more involved with their child's education. They don't have time. They're holding down two jobs because they're both minimum wage jobs. They don't have flexibility on their job to run out in the middle of the day in order to attend something at school. So all that's understandable, but we have to address that. I'll tell you, about 15 years ago, the unions at Detroit Public Schools made a proposal that no one really supported or latched onto, is that businesses need to figure out how they could let parents off work at various times to be involved in their kids' schools. That would be a tremendous commitment on the part of the business community to say parental involvement is so important for our kids. There's a certain a number of hours a parent could take off to be involved in their child's school.
Do you think
schools need to be need to reach out? Schools reach out a great deal to parents. We need to do even more, and we need schools that are really community based and offer the kind of wraparound services that so many families need. If they were embedded in the school, you would see more parental involvement.
Do you think business is not involved more with this because they're misinformed or they don't know that this would be very helpful? Or do you think that they're just focused on doing what they do?
Well, I think the bottom line is they're focused on doing what they do. And there are a few businesses that are involved in community and are helpful, but they're focused on their bottom line. Their profit bottom line, and that is I think that's why they don't take on a project like I mentioned, freeing up parents to be involved in their kids' education.
Well, David Hecker is with the American Federation of Teachers, the Michigan branch of that. He's the president. David, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tony. Have a good day.